Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Neither one of us deserves to be here.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 7, Detention. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Mess with the bull, you get the horns. Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. Before we get to this peak of cultural importance, a couple of notes. There is no bonus episode of Again With This Friday, since this March, as all Marches seem to, has like 17 Fridays. We only work for four of them a month. But next week on April 5th, we will be dropping Again With This episode 186. Let's watch Monica Keena in Law and Order. Technically, it's season 5, episode 14, Performance. You can read the recap on tvtropes.org. But we all know it as the Mac Rangers episode, which also stars the former Mr. Jenny Garth, the Fetch, Peter Facinelli. It's a legendary episode. We're very excited to talk about it, and we hope that you will join us again with thispodcast.com/club. Tara, anything else?
This week, there will be an Again With This episode for our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up specifically. That is the March 2024 edition of Again With Them. All that has dropped so far in the month of March in our timeline is the Real World episode, plus an interview with Joey Slotnick.
Happy birthday to me.
Well, don't tempt fate, because that's still one extra episode more than they needed to do that have come out so far. Yeah, that's all we can talk about because we haven't listened to anything else yet. But, you know, whatever does happen, we'll be covering it just for all of you at the $5 level and up. So go to againwiththispodcast.com/club to join or to kick up your pledge or whatever. All right, let's get into this episode. We just have really one plot line. It's detention. You get what's on the tin. Yep. This is also the first of a few episodes of Dawson's Creek that were written by Mike White. Yes, that Mike White, the writer, director of The White Lotus himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had high hopes for the Rob Thomas episode being much better than the others, and it kind of wasn't. I'm going to say, not to spoil anything, this one kind of was.
I mean, low bar. And also, a lot of it is that it's just the kids and you don't have to deal with any of the grown-ups. A lot of the characters might have peaked here, or at least one of them did. I wrote a whole thing, which I had completely forgotten, like 12 to 13 years ago for Vulture. They had a feature called the Nostalgia Fact Check, and I wrote it about Dawson's Creek. And I said in that, that this might be the best moment, and it was all down here for little Joey Potter. But, well, we'll talk about it. This did feel cringy, but not because the performances were bad and it was overwritten. Like, it was cringy because it was, like, well acted and the writing was maybe actually getting at something, even if it wasn't realistic. So, yeah, I guess you're right. This was better.
On the sheer basis alone of, like, everyone doesn't sound like everyone else. I think he's better at, and I know all of, you know, even though he's credited as the author, all of the writer's room contributes. I know that's how it works. But I think if we want to ascribe to him the improved capacity for writing dialogue, I definitely think we see it in his future works that he has a better ear for, like, distinguishing characters than some of the other writers and Kevin Williamson do.
Yep.
So we open on Joey and Dawson sitting on his bed with a plush E.T. doll between them. All three are watching a chase scene of some movie until Dawson winces and pauses it, saying he doesn't get this one. Since they've been watching it for an hour and a half, Joey would like to see what happens. Well, fucking strap in, because Dawson has some artistic opinions he needs to spew. Clip two.
When movies get too unrealistic, it depresses me. I get a headache. I can't watch.
Unrealistic? Dawson, your favorite movie is E.T.
So?
A fat-fingered alien who eats Reese's Pieces and flies around on a bicycle?
But the emotion is realistic. This movie, I mean, come on. A girl has to decide between two guys so they drag race. She agrees to go out with whoever has the fastest car.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Dawson, but a fast car can be a real turn-on.
So the one that they just arm wrestle, whoever has the biggest bicep wins.
Well, that would work. Give me the remote.
No.
Give it to me. You're asking for it. Stop it. Give it to me. Give it to me. You are such a brat.
Oh, the wrestling. Getting to places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This ends with Joey straddling Dawson, and then both of them get embarrassed until she climbs off him, sits in the chair next to the bed, and says the movie threatens Dawson because guys are attracted to girls for totally superficial reasons. Clip three.
They like girls from New York with blonde hair and pouty lips and bony arms and big boobs. But it goes both ways, Dawson. It goes both ways.
Jen does not have bony arms.
You can't stand the idea that if a girl is choosing between two guys, she might not choose the romantic doofus who woos her with flowers and cheesy poems, you know? She just might choose the guy who has the faster car or the bigger bicep or the bigger joystick.
Bigger joystick?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, girls are attracted to romance more than anything else.
Yeah. Keep hope alive there.
Second of all, I don't compete with other guys. I mean, you don't like Pacey and me. You don't see us running around arm wrestling each other over some girl.
Well, as I said, you don't like to lose.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, Pacey has bigger biceps.
Tweet does not!
Are you sure? Because I thought he did.
It begins! Mike White! Yes!
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, LOL at Dawson telling a girl what girls are most attracted to. Like, it's the most Dawson part of that clip.
Yeah.
Joey wonders if he's right about romance. Why won't Jen have sex with him? And Dawson sputters that she wants to, but she just hasn't gotten around to it, Joey guesses. And Dawson looks wounded, then decides he does want to watch the movie and flops back and pouts. And Joey does not really acknowledge his big feelings except to scoff. And then it's school. Joey's giving a report about the Shoguns in feudal Japan. By the way, watch Shogun on FX or Hulu. It is good. A girl whose bag we just saw explode in the hall and who we will soon learn is Abby Morgan, played by Monica Keena, rushes in late, gasping that her car broke down and then waving to a jock who goes on to be titillated when Joey says the Shogun had a harem of 600 women. Grant, the jock, interrupts again to ask more about those 600 chicks all being in service of just one dude, and Joey tries to continue, but fucking Grant breaks in again to ask if the concubines had to doink the Shogun, and I guess Mr. Douglas, the teacher, also wants to know because he barely even tries to shut Grant up at all before this happens. Clip four.
So the Shogun was kind of like the school stud. Every chick wanted a piece of him, right?
You know what? They didn't want a piece of him.
Sounds like they did to me.
Well, that's because you have a low IQ.
Ooh. Ooh. Later, Dawson's changing classes when he spots Pacey chatting with Jen and rushes over just before Pacey tells Jen, "We used to call him Oompa Loompa." Jen does not know what that is, so Pacey has to explain, and when Dawson joins them to ask what's so funny, they both say nothing to make it obvious they were talking about him. Like, just say some show that was on last night. This is extremely entry level, but Pacey changes the subject to gym class. They're going to be playing basketball. He innocently jokes about how the game works, and Dawson seems personally offended that Jen is laughing at Pacey's jokes. Jen has health class next with a Mr. Pickering that she thinks has a grudge against her. Dawson waits for her to stop talking so he can say she looks incredible. Sidebar, looks the same. And quickly peck her on the cheek, and then he asks again what they were laughing about, and Jen badly lies that she can't even remember, but she's glad it's Friday because school is making her stir crazy, and this weekend they should go river rafting or naked skydiving. And then we're in the boys' locker room as everyone changes for gym. Pacey complains about the distracting cheerleaders, and Dawson asks again what he and Jen were laughing about. Pacey brushes him off, so Dawson claims it's fine. Jen already told him, which if she had, why would you be asking? But it works. Clip five.
She did?
Yep.
Huh. I guess that's cool. I mean, Oompa Loompa is not the worst nickname.
You told her people called me Oompa Loompa?
It's not such a big deal. Someone was bound to tell her sooner or later. Hey, she thought it was cute. She really did. Dawson, you're not a little Oompa Loompa anymore. You're a big, bad, manly Oompa Loompa. All right, he's but a... Whoa.
Tough guy.
Tough guy.
This is the PC that we came to love. And he doesn't look bad in a gym, like, Cape Side High issue tank top either for phys ed. Don't hate it.
Nope. No, indeed. So then we're in health class where it's time to discuss euthanasia. Jen raises her hand and Mr. Pickering ignores her to call on a boy named Daniel who looks like he barely knows where he is. Mr. Pickering confidently states that euthanasia is completely at odds with the mission of medicine, but Jen disagrees. Students are visibly aghast. Mr. Pickering snits that he doesn't know how they run classes in New York City, but in Cape Side, we raise our hands, and Jen is like, fine, but clip six.
If a doctor can help someone to die with dignity, I think it's crazy that as a society, we would put that doctor in jail.
Die with dignity? Isn't that just a euphemism for murder and suicide?
No. If someone has a terminal illness, if they're in terrible pain, if it's just a matter of time, I mean, don't you think that there comes a point when life is no longer worth living?
Life is God's most precious gift, and it is his decision when we should go.
Oh, please.
That's enough.
For someone lying on his deathbed, life is not a gift. Life's a bitch. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to say that for someone...
This is not Times Square, Miss Lindley. We don't use that kind of language here. You just bought yourself Saturday detention.
Ooh.
God, it's amazing that the teachers at the school have sucked from the jump. Like, Tamara entirely aside, that's A.
Yes.
B, could it be any more obvious that this show is immersed in the South? This is not a conversation that would get anybody in trouble in fucking Massachusetts. Regional school, sorry. Lord will decide. Oh, God.
God's most precious gift, really, at this public high school? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Over to the CAF, where Grant and his idiot buddy flagrantly cut in front of Joey. He says he loved her report, and when she called him stupid, it turned him on. And given that this guy's like 3 inches shorter than Katie Holmes, I don't know why he is stepping to Joey like this, but...
No, me neither.
Joey spits that being juiced up on steroids doesn't mean Grant can cut lines wherever he wants. Grant says it's kind of like her report. Grant and his friends are like the shoguns of the school, so Joey can either be a servant or his concubine, and flicks her hair. Turns out Joey would like to be the person who savagely crushes Grant's nuts for him, smashes his buddy in the face with a tray, and then punches Grant hard enough to knock him off his feet, which, like, I take Sarah's point about speaking too soon, but, you know, Mike White, fine, you got me. Mm-hmm. And then she glances around at the reaction this has gotten and seems to realize that no good is going to come of it. And then we're in gym class where Pacey and Dawson are shooting around with a guy who is minimum 33 years old, as you can see in the visual aids.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. It's like a diner when she's like, he's like, oh, she'll be 12. He's been 33.
Pacey wants to play a little one-on-one to impress the cheerleaders who are practicing in uniform off to the side. Dawson wants to go eat, but relents when Pacey promises to buy him a fruit cup. And Pacey quickly scores twice on Dawson and runs around celebrating. Dawson snits at him to shoot free throws because Dawson's leaving. Pacey yells that he needs Dawson to make him look good, but Dawson takes off with the ball. And Pacey's like, pass the ball, Oompa Loompa, and soon finds out today's not the day, as Dawson bounces the ball off Pacey's face and the camera in a moment that went so viral on Twitter last spring that Joshua Jackson had to explain how they did it when he went on Fallon to supposedly talk about Fatal Attraction. So I won't spoil the Fallon clip because we linked it in the show notes, and the basketball bounce is the very first thing they talk about in the clip. You don't have to watch the rest of the interview. I will just say the part where it bounces off Pacey's face and into the camera was not planned, and it really does look incredible. I made it a GIF, which you can see in the visual aids if you missed it on Twitter last year. It's great.
He might not be a good shooter, but he's a plus pass defender. Good job, Dawson, and a question mark.
So the coach notices Pacey on the floor with a bleeding nose, surrounded by concerned cheerleaders, and orders Dawson to cool off tomorrow in all-day detention. And then it's Saturday. Dawson and Jen are trudging into said all-day detention, the former pouting that neither of them deserves to be there. Jen's like, I don't, but you kind of do. You broke Pacey's nose. Dawson denies that he did and crabs that ever since Pacey lost his virginity, which we don't call it that, he's been lording it over Dawson. Jen thought Dawson had more control over his animal instincts, but Dawson scoffs that it feels like they control him, like he when he's with Jen, and then he darts in for the weirdest kiss. Like, if they did at least three takes of the basketball, this lizard move deserved like a dozen. As you can see in the visual aids, it's like so uncomfortable.
It was very weird.
Poor Michelle Williams has to act like it rocked her world, which is why she has multiple Oscar nominations now. Not a coincidence. And so then they step into the library for detention. Pacey's already in there morosely reading. And this seems to be the first time Dawson has seen Pacey since the incident, because he looks alarmed at how bad Pacey's face is, like two black eyes. Pacey confirms Jen's report that his nose is broken, but someone must have decided it can't be that broken for TV purposes because he just has like a wee little bandage on the bridge of his nose, which this
is the only time you see that bandage is on TV and in the movies and like in cartoons. It's like a shorthand for that.
I think I said it's like for a toddler's pinky in the visual aids, it's that one. It's the tiny little pointless Band-Aid that when you get the assortment, you're like, what am I ever going to fucking do with these?
What are we doing here as a society? Totally. Yeah.
So Dawson immediately switches from remorse to jealousy as Jen starts comforting Pacey. And she asks why Pacey is there. Pacey dodges, it's a long story. Dawson mumbles that they have 8 hours. Jen notes that spending a whole day together fucking around makes this just like every other Saturday, but not quite, because then they hear a female voice protesting that it's just so punitive, and Pacey groans that it sounds like Abby Morgan. Jen doesn't know her. Dawson agrees with Pacey that she's from hell, and as she walks in with Mrs. Tringle, not Tingle, Abby speeches that she could be out in town doing good works instead of sitting all day, and judging by Mrs. Tringle's eye roll, she is unmoved. Abby is even more annoyed about her sentence when she sees whom she's going to be serving it with, assessing all three with, it's howdy doody time, not a reference a teenager anywhere was still making in 1998 at all.
No. And unless they're all in cowboy gear, that's a very bizarre thing to have her say, but okay.
At least one other person knows it because Jen looks offended. But anyway, clip 7.
Sit down, Abby, and think why you're here in Saturday detention in the first place.
But I could be doing that at home. You could put me under house arrest. I could just sit in my house all day long and think about what a bad person I am.
Abby, shut up.
Kina is so good in this, and Abby Morgan is like one of those only in the movies and on TV like villains where it's like in only in a fictional universe is she this like overtly twatty, and or do her quote targets give a shit, like she's so over the top. But Kina is having a great time, and as you will see in the visual aids, delighting in especially Dawson's discomfiture, and I am 2 feet here for it.
You know, this show obviously, I think, borrows a lot from 90210. She's very the bitchy girl, Amanda, from the Slumber Party episode. Same vibe. Same character, yes, for sure. Mrs. Tringle says detention is about penance and is going on in a boilerplatey way when Joey wanders in behind her, clearly very embarrassed to be just as big a fuck-up as the rest of them, officially. And Mrs. Tringle says she'll be working in the AV room. If she has to come deal with them, they'll have to spend the rest of their shift doing library work. And hearing, apparently for the first time, that they aren't going to be freed for 8 whole hours makes Abby whine that they'll kill each other, and Mrs. Tringle cheerfully tells them not to get any blood on the books. Another good Mike White line. I'll give him credit for that.
Yep.
Abby offers gum. Dawson and Joey take her up on it. She laughs in their faces, then asks if Pacey injured his beak in a car accident whilst picking his nose. Pacey spits what happened. Abby says it can't look worse than it did before, and then asks Dawson if he's in for attempted manslaughter. And if Pacey's in for damaging school equipment with his face, Dawson suspiciously says Pacey's not telling. Abby assumes it's embarrassing. Like, did he make up another cockamamie story about sleeping with a teacher? Dawson looks over sharply at this, but fortunately, Abby is too self-involved to notice. And she tries to bribe Pacey with gum. It doesn't work. On to Jen. Clip 8.
I said bitch in class. It's just Mr. Pickering. He's got this total small-town mentality. So many people here do.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jen. It must be so hard for you putting up with us simpletons.
That's not what I meant.
Must be a real bitch for you.
Rear, catfight, ladies in your corners.
How about you, Joey? Why are you in here? Not that I'm surprised. I mean, incarceration does seem to run in your family.
Go to hell.
I think you're the bitch, Abby.
Okay, Miss Big Apple. If you want to hang out with these backwater black sheep, don't let me stop you.
Okay. Right. Also, given what you know, what you must know Joey is in for, do you still want to give her shit? She could step on you and kill you. She took out two dudes.
Mm-hmm. But somehow this has escaped Abby's notice because Joey waits until 10 to 9 to blurt she's there for punching Grant. Abby calls this moronic even for Joey because Grant is the king of a school and a total fox. He is not what I saw, but fine.
No, he's a little fire hydrant and he's going to be spending the next 72 hours sitting on an ice pack. Yeah, that's hot.
Abby bemoans having been put in with all these violent offenders. Dawson asks what she did, and Abby eventually insinuates that she was involved in an ecstasy-fueled orgy in the boys' locker room. And then it's only 10 a.m. Clip 9.
This is so Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club?
You know the John Hughes movie where the five kids are stuck in detention all day?
Yeah, at first they hate each other and then they become really, really good friends.
Oh, yeah, the movie stunk. Whatever happened to those actors?
Well, Anthony Michael Hall got some kind of weird thyroid condition. Molly Ringwald lost her gawky ingenue appeal, and the rest are languishing somewhere in TV obscurity.
No way! Emilio Estevez, he was in those Duck movies, remember? God, those were classics. So funny.
What? I mean, you know, fine. I guess you have to acknowledge that you know. So we know, you know, we know that, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Then it's 10:10. Jen remembers her New York best friend's older sister used to babysit for Ally Sheedy, and Joey mocks Jen for name dropping. She's like, Jen helped deliver Joey's brand new nephew in the last episode. Why is Joey back to being such a bitch to her? Like, that's one problem with this episode. But I did wonder if they were like filmed out of order or something, or aired rather.
Yeah, it does seem like maybe they were. And I feel like at the time we knew that, but I don't actually know for sure. So,
yeah, this is after, but there could have been one of the other episodes could have been between these. Who knows? Mm. Anyway, Abby joins Joey in mocking Jen. Jen turns it around on Abby for her obviously fake orgy story, leading Abby to start whinily yelling for Mrs. Tringle, whose important work in the AV room is catching up on Days of Our Lives. Bless her. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Tringle gives them all permission to pee. And in the boys' room, where for some reason there's a super low urinal, which makes me think they shot this in an elementary school. Because I've seen that before, but not in a high school.
Actual Oompa Loompas go there? Who knows?
Dawson tries to smile at Pacey, who just glares back. And in the girls' room, Abby opines that the four of them have a psychosexual tension thing going on. And Jen and Joey's angry flushes only seem to confirm it. And then it's 11. Abby is so bored. You're in a library. Just read and shut up. But
seriously, get your homework done. Then you have tomorrow to fuck off.
That's right.
Am I the only one who knew how to do detention? Yes, I actually got detention.
Oh, I could see it. Even I got detention, I think, but I never had to stay because we couldn't. I was bussed, but I definitely had to write lines, which is the dumbest detention they can assign you. Ugh. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. What did you get detention for?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Probably smarting off. Probably saying bitch in class like Jen. Paisley asks where Abby's ecstasy is, because they could take some and truck on down to the locker room. But if Abby still had any, she wouldn't waste it on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. But they should all play truth or dare. Abby will go first. Dawson sarcastically tries, is she an alien and what planet is she from? Which is two questions. Abby answers truthfully and then says it's her turn, and Dawson gets all flustered, saying that was a joke, not a question, but it's too late, and unfortunately, she is right. So Abby turns to Paisley. He doesn't pick, so she picks truth and asks why he's there, and Paisley nervously switches to dare, and Abby dares him to kiss on the lips for 10 seconds. Jen! And it's so funny and true that everyone just, like, tacitly accepts the integrity of the game and tries to stop playing entirely rather than just refuse to do anything. Like, that's the only way you can get out of it.
Yeah, and has no one learned from watching TV shows and movies in universe that it is literally never a good idea to play this game, and it only exists to advance, like, character information about each other?
Yeah.
Like this?
Yep.
Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. The only way to win is not to play.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is how Paisley and Jen end up kissing on the lips for 10 seconds while Dawson's nostrils flare with rage, and Paisley's...
It's the beginning of the absolute, like, blocking out the sun. Like, you can hear them creaking into position. Nostril flares. So yep, good.
It's true.
Oh.
Paisley's being very perfunctory about it until he sees how bothered Dawson is, and then he goes for it, and it's hot. And Abby... Uh-huh. Abby can't believe how well this worked out. Jen seems like it got her somewhere. And then it's Paisley's turn. He targets Joey. Joey picks truth, so he asks whom she is in love with. Dawson and Jen both look horrified, so Joey switches to dare, and Abby says they're all wimps, and she is right. So Joey says she'll do anything. Paisley dares Joey to kiss Dawson on the lips for 15 seconds. Joey tries to weasel out of it. Dawson tells Paisley to grow up. Paisley reminds Joey she said she'd do anything. So Dawson takes his position opposite Joey, he and Jen both looking stricken. Abby's hilariously eager to see the chaos, as you can see in the visual aids. She coos at Jen that she'll keep time, and this is what we hear as Joey and Dawson fucking fully make out. Clip 10.
I was up all night, dreaming of you.
Pretty
get it. Valentine. She's bleeding again from the sole of her shoes. Cause she's got to carry the weight of the truth. Could you take it easy on me?
13,
could you take it
14,
easy on me?
15.
Would you
okay.
Like to see me crawling? Would it
so, are we having fun yet?
Could we do if it could?
Not really, but we appreciate your service. Also, this was what I very quickly in the recaps began calling the wailing ovary of telling you how to feel. And got it.
Yep.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So then it's Joey's turn, as Abby reminds her with an earth to dimwit. Joey picks on Jen, who chooses truth. So Joey asks, of all the guys at Capeside, is Dawson the one that Jen is most attracted to? Jen shrugs that, of course, she likes him the most, but Joey says that is not what she asked. Clip 11.
What do you mean attracted to?
She means attracted, like physically attracted.
Yeah, is he the guy you're hottest for? I mean, when you look at Dawson, do you want to just jump his bones? Or is it that you like his personality the best, but in terms of lust, you'd rather boink somebody else, I don't know, someone like Paisley?
No, I like Dawson.
Yeah, but do you lust for him?
It's a stupid question.
Why is it a stupid question?
I don't have any problem with this question.
It's a stupid question because it's a stupid question because the answer is yes, all right? Obviously the answer is yes. I lust for Dawson, okay? I'm hot for Dawson. Are you happy, Joey? Maybe if you spent less time... Forget about it.
What? Come on, Jen, just tell me. I can handle it. What? What do you have to tell me? What?
Whose turn is it?
Maybe if you spent less time dwelling on me and Dawson, you might have a boyfriend of your own.
Oh, and wouldn't that just be heaven on earth? Yeah, to call one of these pigs at Capeside my boyfriend to be some perky little cheerleader who gets pumped and dumped by the school jock. Yeah, have sex with Grant Bodine on the floor of the boys' locker room. Wouldn't that just be gross?
Spoken like a true lesbian.
Yeah, I wish I was a lesbian. And Jen, I'm not dwelling on your relationship with Dawson, so just get over yourself.
I have to give Michelle Williams credit that she really is like, she really essays that like, yeah, actually, he's just kind of a B minus, but he's next yeah. door and mm-hmm. he's interested in me and like that she's not that into it. I mean, I don't know. And also it's Dawson. So he's like, he looks like he's about to melt or shit himself in every scene of this episode. Mm-hmm. And it's great.
She's already been out with Cliff, who is a Scott Foley character, like, this mm-hmm. season. So, yeah. Is she more attracted to Dawson than him? I can't imagine.
If so, has she had a glaucoma test recently? We ask because we're concerned.
Anyway, Joey storms off. Everyone feels bad for a second until Dawson dares everyone to follow him for a jailbreak. And we cut back to Mrs. Tringle, still watching Days. And then behind her, as the kids creep past the open doorway, Abby frets that they're going to get caught. But Jen posits that Mrs. Tringle has taped the whole week's worth of shows, which means they still have an hour probably before she runs out. And Jen proposes a nude game. Guess my butt. And this involves the Xerox machine and what are apparently their bare asses. I was actually a little scandalized. Like, how did we get these butt cheeks onto TV?
Yeah, I was annoyed that we did not get the confirmed results of, like, why didn't we get to guess their butts?
Yeah.
I mean, I know why, but mm-hmm. I wanted to guess some butts.
So when Jen correctly guesses Pacey's, he jokes about it being a magnet for chicks' eyes, and everyone laughs except Dawson, who is enraged. Clip 12.
Stop, man, you're pathetic. Hey, you're just jealous.
You? Yeah, talk about delusions of grandeur.
Dawson, this is so blatant. That's why you threw the basketball on my nose, and it's why you've been acting like such a little puke lately.
Me?
Pacey.
I've been acting like a puke.
Dawson, don't get into this.
Hey, you're jealous. You're jealous of me. You're jealous of me because I'm a better athlete. You're jealous of me because I got a better sex life than you.
Yeah, Pacey, you're a real Don Juan.
At least my nickname was never Oompa Loompa, all right?
The sad reality, Pacey, is that you're not good at anything. You are a total failure. And need I mention the laughing stock of the school?
You guys, chill out.
Can't we all just get along?
You know, I never knew what it did to a man's ego to lose a basketball game.
I didn't lose that basketball game.
You want a rematch?
I'll play you anytime, anywhere.
I mean, he didn't win that basketball game, so, you know.
Yeah. Also, of course, no one thinks your ass is hot. It is in a pair of khakis that has its own congressperson. How could anyone fucking tell?
I mean, so are Pacey's. When we see him grab his cheeks, it's like, how do you even know it's still in there? Like, truly.
It's so true. Big. Yeah. Anyway.
So then we're in the gym where the Chad Pacey already has his t-shirt off as Jen tries to talk the virgin Dawson out of whatever he thinks he's going to prove with this. Dawson fumes that Pacey has sex one time, and thinks he's a legend. And Jen disgustedly asks if that's what this is about. And no, but Dawson doesn't appreciate that Pacey thinks he can give Dawson sex advice when Dawson is the one who has a girlfriend. As Abby and Joey take their seats in the bleachers with peanut M&Ms approved. Pacey mm-hmm. calls Dawson Oompa Loompa again, and Dawson says that if he wins, Pacey has to tell them all why he's there. But Pacey doesn't intend to lose, and then there's a sports montage. Yes, eat up that screen time. Woo! Mm-hmm. People shoot, no one scores, Abby heckles, Jen snits about guys competing over dumb shit, and Abby's like, yeah, sisters never do that. And Abby then heckles some more. The basketball having devolved into a full wrestling match on the floor, Joey sneers that Jen should grab some pom-poms and support her man, and Jen decides she's had enough. Clip 13.
Joey, I give up. You win. You know, I keep trying to get you to like me, but there's nothing I can do, is there?
What do you mean? Whatever, I like
Come on, Joey, I'm not a fool. All your little catty comments are not lost on me. What did I do to you? All I've ever tried to do is be your friend.
Y'all can never be friends as long as you keep fighting over the same guy. Joey, it's obvious you're in love with Dawson.
You're wrong.
I saw a kiss that could set the Atlantic Ocean on fire. Don't tell me I'm wrong about that. That kiss was intense.
Meanwhile, during this entire scene, there's just an open brawl happening between Pacey and Dawson that none of the girls is paying attention to, and it cracked me up that every now and then, like, a leg would flail into the frame, yes. And they're just like, anyhow, like, love it.
Abby, smirking to herself, says she's going to go get some water, leaving Jen and Joey to look warily at one another while the basketball battle goes on, still without a single point having been scored. Sounding like she's about to cry, Jen tries to say something kind to Joey, but Joey doesn't want to discuss this with Jen, although she also doesn't bother to deny that she's being a bitch. Jen gets it. Joey explodes that Jen doesn't have to be so nice. This would all be easier if Jen were a total wench. Jen offers to try to be one, which is when Abby sees the clock over the water fountain. It's 2:45 and they have to get back to the library right now. And while Pacey is distracted, Dawson shoots and scores, and Pacey tries to protest this basket's validity. But Abby screams that they have 2 minutes to get back to the library. And then there's a Breakfast Club homage running montage, complete with slick floor slides. But it's all for naught, because when they get back to the library, Mrs. Tringle's standing at the door, fuming. And after commercials, it's 3. Mrs. Tringle's asking why she shouldn't give them all detention again next Saturday. Abby says they were starving. Mrs. Tringle, clip 14.
So you went to the gym to what? Eat a basketball?
Fair point. Mean.
Yeah.
They did have M&Ms. Abby says they were delirious from hunger. Mrs. Tringle's already walking away, threatening what will happen if she hears one more peep out of Abby, who, of course, keeps talking. Until Pacey claps his hand over her mouth. So then Mrs. Tringle pulls a drawer out of the card catalog, Ask Your Parents, and dumps them all on the floor.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts.
I know. Well, okay, so then she says they have to put them all back in alpha order, and if even one is out of place, they all have to come back in a week. And as someone who worked in a public library, A, alpha order is kid stuff. It's the Dewey Decimal sorting that gets fiddly. Yep. And B, this is especially cruel because doing it as a group means you still have to add a step at the end when you harmonize everybody's stacks together. Like, yeah. There's an extra sorting that has to happen. We don't see that.
No.
Our four heroes go straight to the pile and start picking up cards while Abby doesn't move, claiming carpal tunnel syndrome, which is like, oh man, remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
I've heard about carpal tunnel in a million years.
I know.
Then it's 4:30. They're not harmonizing shit. They're just cramming in huge chunks, and I could complain about this all day, but I won't. Abby is just reapplying her lip until Mrs. Tringle comes in, and Abby does a big salad credit grab by being the one to hand off the finished drawer as everyone else seethes. And Abby kisses up to Mrs. Tringle with a compliment slash insult about getting contacts for her pretty eyes, and Mrs. Tringle says flattery's not necessary. Abby served her sentence, and now Mrs. Tringle hopes she understands that excessive tardies won't be tolerated, and Abby is humiliated, even though no one believed the orgy story. Mrs. Tringle leaves, everyone turns on her, Pacey looming over her to call her a liar, and Jessely getting a takes-one-to-no-one back. Abby's not fazed by Pacey's further insults, because she was just trying to make their day more interesting. And she reminds them all that Pacey still hasn't told them his crime, even though technically he did lose at basketball. Pacey snorts about Dawson's supposed victory, and clip 15.
Yeah, forget it, Chris. You can't expect Pacey to fess up to anything.
I am so sick and tired of you copping this attitude with.
I want to trust you, Pacey.
You want to trust me? What, like I'm going to steal your girlfriend or something?
Wouldn't put it past you. You could do anything for sex.
That sucks, Dawson. Is that how you feel about me?
What am I supposed to think? I mean, you kissed my girlfriend.
It's a dare, Dawson.
Thank you. You guys were totally into it.
Well, I wasn't. No offense.
None taken.
Okay, that whole Oompa Loompa thing.
Oh, the love of God, Dawson. You've blown that thing so far out of proportion.
Maybe I have, all right? But you don't understand. You don't get it. Those two words, Oompa Loompa, I hate those words. Right? It's like every insecurity I have about myself exists inside those two words, all right? When you call me that, it's like you're exposing me. For not being Mr. Varsity Athlete, for not being sexually experienced.
I'm a virgin, okay? I'm not some big sex stud like you.
Big sex stud? Please tell me you're joking, Dawson.
So many good additions to the soundboard there. But Pacey's like utterly stricken. That sucks, Dawson. It's like,
yes.
That I think was the moment when I was like, oh, this should be Pacey's Creek.
Yep.
Because that was just really like, I don't know, it got at something
mm-hmm.
that the rest of this episode gets closer than usual. But yeah, I was just like, wow. Like even rewatching it now, I sort of sat up and was like, that line delivery really goes places.
Well, the line delivery, but also the line. And this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, where it's like everyone in this episode is not trying so hard. Like there's mm-hmm. there's no thesaurusing that line. It's just, yeah. That sucks. And it does suck. It does suck if like Dawson yeah. feels that way about his supposed best friend. It sucks yeah. of him.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, Dawson just glares. Oh, the other question about all of that is like, why are you having this conversation in front of Abby, who clearly is going to remember everything you said and use it against you? She's not your friend.
Like, yeah.
Guys.
Like, you've been released. Go your separate ways. Like anything that happens from here is sort of undercut by the fact that there's absolutely no way any of them should be within earshot of the ones that they're upset with
yes.
anymore. Go yes. home.
Yep. But they don't. Dawson just glares. So Pacey swears everyone to secrecy and then finally confesses. Yesterday, after Dawson broke Pacey's nose, the cheerleaders were being nice to him and he got a little excited and he went into the bathroom to relieve the tension. And the coach caught him. So that's why he's here. Clip 16.
That's the most embarrassing story I've ever heard.
Thanks. So, you think you can stop throwing basketballs at my face now, Dawson? I think it's glaringly obvious that I'm no Don Juan about to steal your girlfriend. I mean, at least you have a girlfriend. I got nothing left.
You have your hand.
Your hand will never leave you.
It's true.
Everyone ignores Abby as Dawson agrees that he's taken out his frustrations on Pacey. He's just looking for a reason why Jen doesn't want him. And as Joey hugs herself from the awkwardness, Jen says she likes Dawson so much, but Dawson wants her to want him. Jen calls Dawson her godsend. Sometimes her life in Capeside feels like a big detention she can't escape, but knowing that she has met a romantic, caring guy she likes and wants so much gets her through the bad days. Dawson doesn't want to be the guy pressuring her, but he's human and he thinks about having sex with her 1,000 times a day. And Joey looks absolutely shattered having to watch all this, by the way. Relatable. Yeah,
again, go, both of you know how she feels. Find another stack to stand in and let her leave. God, poor Joey.
So Dawson and Pacey make peace. No one is including Joey in any of their score settling. So clip 17.
You know, when did everyone become so obsessed with sex? And now you too, Dawson. If you're worried that everyone's more experienced than you, you can just rest easy. You still have one friend who'll probably go to a grave a virgin.
Joey, it's just a matter of time.
Before what? Before my brain short circuits and I start bedding down with every guy with a fast car and big biceps?
Before you find the right person.
I have...
Joey?
I'm sorry, Dawson. I don't know what's going on. I have all these feelings, these weird feelings. I don't know how to say it, and I can't say it. We've known each other for so long, and you know everything about me. Everything, and I can't even say this. I can't. And I just feel really lonely.
Joe, you're not alone.
Yes, I
am. Joe, I'm here for you. I was here for you in the sixth grade. I'm here for you now, okay? Nothing you can say is going to change that. Nothing. Maybe if you just say these things, then, you know, they'll be out in the open. Your feelings won't be as strong anymore. You know? I mean, you'll be free.
I can't. So if I say these things, I can't ever take them back.
their throbbing biological urges.
She's so sad and good.
Yeah.
And it's him. Ugh. And what kind of, like, person from another planet is like, what if you just say it out loud? Then you'll feel better. It's like, what? You are sitting 6 inches from her face. What do you think she's going to say if it's not that she loves you? You bonehead.
Exhausting. It's rough. Everyone else physically really cringes as Joey says that telling Dawson the truth about her feelings will change everything. So it's a relief when Mrs. Tringle returns and brightly tells them all they can go home now. But Dawson gets in one last hair rake before departing for the day. And that's where we leave all of our heroes. I'm going to say it's super awkward, but best episode yet.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's not close.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Abby?
Yeah, valid choice. I'm going to say Joey because teamed up with the sound guy who, when she cold decks the second guy, like the crunchy, it like actually doesn't match up, but it's shot really satisfyingly. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of high school folks who had been getting bullied for whatever reason maybe took some heart in the fact that, in a cafeteria tray, perhaps, lies your salvation. So, yeah. And also her performance throughout, Katie Holmes, was really good and not like taking shortcuts like she maybe did a little later in the series. So that was horrific to watch at the end. I'm glad we don't have to do it again.
Yeah. I'll also say sub winner, Mike White, who is bringing to this show what he would later bring to Freaks and Geeks, like letting everyone know it could be better than people thought. And it wasn't always, but it was sometimes. Least valuable player.
Barnstable County Teachers Union has got some shit to answer for, and that's all I'm going to say. Shut up, Mr. Douglas, you freak.
Intervene, perhaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let a girl finish her presentation. She put on her little plaid mini skirt just for this, because it's 1998 and that's what we did.
Oh, yeah, it is. Next time on Again With This Melrose Edition, that big fish client, literally, his last name is Marlin, remember? Hardy har har.
Oh, yeah.
Indecently proposes Eve, Megan and Ryan get closer again, Lexi and Michael finally do it, and Amanda calls Kyle's bluff, and no, we don't mean the one that he's building that stupid house on the edge of like a real smart smarty. You may want to call an ophthalmologist before you look at our visual aids. You can find those at againwiththispodcast.com. And don't forget to check out the club page. There is literally a ton of extra 90210, Melrose, and Dawson's First content for Patreon supporters, and you can hang out with us / your fellow listeners on our dedicated Discord. So go to againwiththispodcast.com/club for more information. I'm Girl from New York, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Tough Guy, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, just bought himself editing detention. Talk to you next time.
Dawson's Creek is canceled. Bye-bye.
In a moment that went so viral on Twitter last spring that Joshua Jackson had to explain how they did it when he went on Fallon to supposedly talk about Fatal Attraction. Oh. Sandy. Someone's daring to walk by on the sidewalk, and our new dog Sandy is not having it.
Oh, no.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.